Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Shout out to Rob Britton. Happy birthday to Rob Britton.
His reply all guy coming out of the woodwork today.
It's going to happen. It's about that time that we get that email from Miss Joe.
Happy birthday to Rob Britton today.
That's right. Exactly that time. We could probably track this during the segment. Like, that's how quick it'll happen. Oh,
yeah. So do you think he will reply to all today?
Normally it happens around the end of this segment. We get the email about 8:02.
Okay. There it is. It just came. The Joe Blackwell 8:01 just came. Happy birthday today to... Rob Britton. Happy birthday, Rob.
That's right. So you can go to Rob Britton's Twitter page. It is, where do I have it on here?
At Kelsey's Washed, I think is what he goes by on Twitter. At Kelsey's Washed.
Hey, man, his own host kind of crushed him yesterday with his take. And I know you're going to love it.
All right.
So Carrington, he didn't have to do this to Rob yesterday, but I was dying laughing in my car. Because they gave out their season awards to the Chiefs. And they said yesterday was the last day they were going to do it. And that, you know, this was going to be, you know, the final day for the awards. And then, of course, as Carrington does in Carrington fashion, Rob, turn the music down a little bit. And let's remember what you said about your, because we did our bad takes yesterday, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
This was Rob's worst take of the year on the Kansas City Chiefs. You ready for this?
I think Xavier Worthy is on the outside looking in the circle of trust because he does feel like Mecole Hardman part two.
Oh my God.
Rookie year Mecole Hardman part two. Rookie year Mecole Hardman was a 500-yard guy who early in the season had Mahomes' trust, partially due to Tyreek Hill being out, but he was cooking early in the year. Down the stretch, those game logs showed less and less targets, less and less catches. It is feeling that way for Xavier Worthy, and much like Mecole Hardman, there's a thought that I don't know Mahomes trusts him, and as we get into November, December, which is when everyone in football tells me the games matter more, I don't know you're going to see a high targets, a high usage, or anything more than maybe jet sweep, take a deep shot guy with Xavier Worthy because he doesn't have the quarterback's trust. He's on the outside right now.
We can't always be right. And I love Rob. He's my buddy. He's my golf friend. I talk to him daily. Xavier Worthy's last 5 games. 6 for 46, 7 for 65, 8 for 79. Now we're in the playoffs. 5 for 45, 6 for 85, and a touchdown in the biggest game of the year. hey, you know, some people thought Kareem Hunt wasn't going to do diddly poo for the Chiefs.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, I didn't think
some people thought that the torch was being passed to Noah Gray from Travis Kelce.
Right.
And here we are eating a bunch of crow.
So, and I said 7-8 years ago, trade Travis Kelce too. So I'll stand by that. I wanted to trade Alex Gordon in 2011. What did I know? Right. Know. We all have like really bad takes. That one's good though. It's good. Like, it's good when you can admit it and laugh at it too. Yeah. There's nothing better than like the self-deprecating stuff as opposed to taking everything so serious. Cause too many people in our industry take this stuff way too serious.
I said that.
Yes, you did.
Yeah, you did. And
but
so what you did. We all have bad takes and bad
opinions.
That's
why we do the script. We'll do it next week. We get a week off cause there's nothing to script
this week.
That's what's so self-deprecating and laugh about this is everybody will text me like, man, you guys are really wrong. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the point. Yeah. You can't script this
right
as much as you think you can. So former MVP Cam Newton was asked by Stephen A. Smith yesterday. We don't need the audio because it's just it was a simple question. He said, would you trade your MVP for a Super Bowl championship? And Cam Newton said, absolutely not.
And absolutely, I would never want Cam Newton to be on my team. Cam Newton can go suck eggs on this one, man.
Well, that's an expensive suck.
Yeah. I mean, seriously, when you look at what Cam Newton said, no. What's more important, impact or championships, Newton said. Brad Johnson won a Super Bowl. Trent Dilfer won a Super Bowl. Respectfully, Nick Foles won a Super Bowl. Yeah, you've listed all these guys that have won Super Bowls.
Mm.
Nobody's running through an MVP list. Nobody's talking about, oh, that legacy was created because Cam Newton won an MVP. Cam Newton saying that he would rather be the MVP than win a Super Bowl is precisely why he never won a Super Bowl and why he's never been a champion and why he's a guy that I wouldn't want on my team. What does Patrick Mahomes say all the time? I don't care about any of that. I just want to win games. It's all about winning games. It's all about winning. It's all about the team. It's all about winning games. That's what you want in your leader. That's what you need in a leader. That's why Cam Newton's not a leader. That's why Cam Newton was a minor footnote in NFL history and will end up probably being more famous for being on TV, which no big deal. Everybody is exposed to television and whatnot. But Cam Newton will not go down as one of the greatest of all time. If I'm thinking about greatest of this generation, I don't even know that Cam Newton's on there. You make your legacy in the playoffs, in the postseason, in the Super Bowl, in the World Series, in the NBA Finals. Guys become superstars and legends because of what they do in the playoffs. People don't really recall or care that you won an MVP award. Nope, doesn't resonate, man.
If you remember that Super Bowl, it was really weird how he performed. Like, obviously, he didn't jump on the fumble,
right?
And Von Miller was the Super Bowl MVP that year because he absolutely wrecked Cam Newton. And then at the very end, the MVP, the guy that went 15-1 in the regular season, was on the podium and stood up and walked away.
Yeah, and here's the rest of his quote. Mm. I know that's not the popular pick. My take is I'm taking individual success because I did my job. Oh, my God.
Woofta.
Yeah, like that is a woof comment right there. You're the no wonder your team never won because you suck as a leader, man.
Right.
I mean, about you.
And I mean, that's one of those opportunities where like you can, you know, go back on your career and be like, would you have given up, you know, the MVP award that year and replaced it with a Super Bowl award? No. Wait. One more time. Would you have given up the MVP award, an individual award for the Super Bowl trophy? No. Okay. Fair enough.
Wow. I mean, I wonder how many other people that like maybe how many people won an MVP though without a Super Bowl? I bet you the number's very small. I bet you it's very small, right?
He also dresses like Dr. Loveless from Wild Wild West.
Mr. West.
Yeah. That's a meme that's going around. I can't take credit for that, but it is funny.
No, it is. But I mean, like, but that's the legacy of Cam Newton. If you don't care about your legacy, then don't worry about winning championships. I've told this story and I'll continue to share the story to the day is long. Players in professional sports that I've talked to have two goals in mind. Get paid and win a championship. That's it. They don't care. In whatever order it comes, if you get paid first, then you go try to win a championship, right? People chase rings all the time. Mm-hmm. Or if you win rings first, like, I don't know, Trey Smith, then you probably go get the bag after you've got the rings. That's why guys play this game. Championships and dough. Nobody has ever said, I'm playing this game or doing this so I can be MVP. I did my job. Can't worry about the rest of you saps out. Like, that's not a leader. That's a loser.
Yeah, I just think at that point you would go back and say, yeah, I'd love to have that. Like, I remember even the most arrogant player maybe of my lifetime, Barry Bonds. I loved him. But they asked him one time about the record, the home run record. And I remember his quote directly was, I don't worry about McGuire's record. I want McGuire's ring. And that's a guy that, I mean, if we all can go back and be honest, I know we all, not everybody, but me in general, growing up in that period of steroids in baseball and just watching balls fly into McCovey Cove, I didn't miss Barry Bonds. And there was a lot of people that had opinions about him. Oh, he's just a selfish player. But to have a home run record or to have a World Series ring, he's like, give me the ring.
Are there any players that you have specifically stopped everything you were doing and said, I'm going to either the ballpark or the stadium to watch that individual play?
Mahomes, Bobby Witt Jr., Zach Greinke.
I'm not talking about Kansas City guys.
No, I know. I'm just saying that you said players.
Yeah.
And those are three. I think when I was younger in radio, kind of getting my feet wet, I was like, I'll take a credential because I want to go see Drew Brees play.
Okay.
And I made sure to do that. And I mean, I know it's a long day in the press box when the Chiefs weren't that great, but I was like, the Saints are in town. Drew Brees' career is coming to an end in the next couple of years. I'm going to go watch Drew Brees play football.
I had the same experience with you when I was in the minimum security prison called St. Louis, and it was Brett Favre. And I'm like, you know, I'm going to get a credential. This may be the last time I get a chance to see Brett Favre play. The Rams stunk. Nobody cared. All that kind of nonsense. Mm-hmm. And so, but I wanted to see Brett Favre. And he was one of those guys. Barry Bonds is another. I was at a years ago when he came to Kauffman Stadium. I want to say 03, 04.
I was there.
And I was out of town in Coffeyville for, remember, guest golf tournament. Like, I got to leave early. I got to go watch Barry Bonds play. And I'm glad I did. He hit a home run. And then the other one was Roger Clemens. Those are the three non-Kansas City athletes that I'm like, I've got to make sure I see these guys go out there and perform. I don't know if Cam Newton was performing outside our window if I would care.
There was two for me. Shohei Ohtani recently. Yeah. There was a series where he was here, where he pitched one game and hit a home run in the next, and that was incredible to see. I went.
He's
to
the guy now. Yeah.
All 3 days he was there,
and then cash that weekend.
Oh, wow. That first AFC Championship game when Brady was in town, that was the deciding factor that made me pony up for a ticket that was not cheap to say, you know, Mahomes just went 50 and whatever in his first 5,050 in his first year. This is Brady at the tail end of his career. What if we look back and this is a classic matchup? And I had never seen Brady play in person. And I'm glad that I did, because it turned out to be a memorable one, not for the right reasons. But yeah, Brady and Ohtani are the two recent ones for me.
I think there's two that I'll never see. One is obviously Michael Jordan. Yeah. If I was around that time, I'd have been like, I'll go to Chicago. I'll take the drive and I'll go watch him. The other one's LeBron. I'm never going to see LeBron James play live. He's not going to play any preseason games at the T-Mobile Center. I'm not going to go anywhere to see him play. And I don't know how many more years he has left. I guess if I wanted to, I could figure out, but it's such a gamble with the NBA.
It is.
Like, I don't know if it's going to load management. I don't know if it's going to, I guess I can
probably have to do a Saturday LA game,
Yeah. I guess I could say,
well, OKC is good now, so there's a good chance he plays on like a weekend if they're OKC. But because I've had that same thought in the last few years before Memphis got good and OKC, I'm like, well, if he comes to a nearby NBA town, he's going to sit because that team stinks.
I wonder how many people bought tickets to see Messi play.
A lot, I bet. Yeah, I mean, 76,000 at Arrowhead. Yeah, that's right.
Just to go watch him play 5 minutes.
Yeah.
But score a goal.
But you saw that.
But you can say in your life, I saw Leo Messi play the greatest soccer player, at least in my lifetime.
And to kind of bring this full circle, Dusty's like, we should be saying that every time we go to Arrowhead Stadium. Every time we have the opportunity to watch Patrick Mahomes play live and in person, you've got to walk out of there going, I just witnessed greatness. Whether they win, whether they lose, whether he was great that day, you're witnessing greatness on that field. And that's something you can tell your grandkids about, and you can say, look, I was there when Patrick Mahomes did this. I saw Patrick Mahomes play. I witnessed all of this. I was at a Patrick Mahomes game. You got to embrace these and appreciate these. He is one of the greats.
I left a lot off my list that I actually went out of my way to go as a younger kid. My dad and I went to the Atlanta Falcons game with Vic play, where they had four rushing touchdowns in the first half or something
Derek
like that.
Derek Blaylock was insane that day.
I was at that game, sat behind the end zone. And then we went and saw Nolan Ryan's last game. That was more my dad, and I was with him that night.
Cool.
And he was like, come with me. Cal Ripken's last tour, got his autograph that day. And then I went and saw King Griffey Jr. when I was in sixth grade, and I had to go to the principal's office that day because I was so excited. I wasn't in trouble, but my principal was like, your ADD's off the charts. I know you're going to see Griffey. Randy Johnson's pitching. I know your love for sports. Just hang out here for the day. And I was like, okay.
I watched Randy Johnson pitch from a dugout suite. There was like a rescheduled game that they were playing against the Diamondbacks early 2000s, maybe. And it was like one of those fly in, play the game type of things, you know, that they have every once in a while. And Randy Johnson was pitching. I sat in the Diamond Club because there was nobody at the game.
Right. Yeah, 2000 Royals.
Yeah, man. Right. But it was a makeup in the middle of an afternoon. I'm like, I go watch Randy Johnson sit down here and kind of do his thing. So, you know, over the years, man, there's certain athletes like you just want to go watch.
Don't forget Royals Rally and their show with Josh Verner, 9 to noon on Saturday. He'll have Bobby Witt Jr., Matt Cotrero. Speaking of Matt Cotrero, he'll join us at 8:45 to talk about what the season is that is becoming quicker than we think. They are getting ready to head out to Surprise. But also, do not forget, big game coverage here on 96.5 The Fan is brought to you by Community America Credit Union, member-owned, open to all, invested in you. Join today at communityamerica.com. The best defense could be Patrick Mahomes in this Super Bowl, plus more evidence that the Chiefs are better coached than you. Everybody else, you. We'll talk what that is on the other side on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City Sports. Diving right back into it. Remember, go to Rob L. Britton on X. Wish him a happy birthday with a Jerry Jones tag.
That's right.
That's what he wants. Or a Mizzou Tigers thing if you want to troll him because he's a diehard KU fan.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Check your email.
It happened?
It did.
Just happened.
Just came in. There it is, the reply all.
I thought it was around 8:40, but yep, there it is.
There it is. I just said to Dusty before the music started, I said, boy, we haven't got the reply to all yet to Rob's birthday email. And then you had the breaking news sounder. There it was.
We should have played a breaking news sounder. Yeah, I thought it would come last segment.
It's still happening. I haven't told the big boss about it yesterday. I pulled the Larry David. I finally did it. I went, there's kind of a situation here that kind of merits you. She's like, what are you talking about? The reply all guy. Oh, but he's so nice. I said, yeah.
Yeah, but also the reply button is right next to the reply
sure
all button.
Sure is.
But if he just replied, it would just go to Joe. Like, this is one where you seek out the individual that's having the birthday. Go make a friend.
Yeah. Well, apparently he has beef with Rob, taking 20 whole minutes to reply to this email.
No kidding.
Yeah, come on.
And it's only Rob's birthday today. No one else in the building has a birthday today.
Nope.
Somebody said they drove to the Seattle Mariners game to go watch King Felix play.
Oh, that's a good one.
How's he not in the Hall of Fame?
Is he eligible yet?
Mm-hmm.
He is.
I don't think he made it this year.
He's been out that long?
I believe so.
God.
I remember still when he struck out 20 batters. I watched that game, and everybody had, like, the King K sign in the crowd.
Right.
I had this take last night, and I wanted to bring it up today. I think the best defense to Philadelphia's offense is Patrick Mahomes. Now, you might think to yourself, well, that's obvious, or what do you mean by that? I had a take last week that I thought whoever won the coin toss and could defer to the second half would win the game. That's exactly what happened. The Chiefs got the ball in the second half. You saw and remember how the first half ended, right? I think that game's a different outcome if Buffalo gets the ball in the second half because Josh Allen made a dart of a throw at the end of the first half. And then they go for two. They didn't get it, but it was 21-16 at the end of the half. Buffalo's juiced up. They're rolling. But the Chiefs got the ball in the second half and kind of, you know, held the narrative of the game. They ended up winning the game. They did fall behind 22-21, but either way, they had a chance to make sure the bleeding stopped at halftime. This is a game in which I think that if you want to take Saquon Barkley out of this game, to give Ben Maller a little shout out there, if you want to take Saquon Barkley out of this game, you get the ball first, you drive down the field with your dramatic 15-play, 8-minute drive touchdown. That is going to force Philadelphia to have to think, okay, Mahomes is here, it's the Super Bowl, we know who 15 is, everything gets quiet, everything gets calm when he's in the under center, or when he's got the ball in his hands at the Super Bowl, all right, let's run to Saquon. 2-yard gain. 2nd and 8. Run to Saquon. 2-yard gain. Now it's 3rd and 6. Jalen Hurts has to make a play. If that is the case in this game and Jalen Hurts has to make a play, Chiefs by a million.
You know, this is funny to me with the Jalen Hurts kind of narrative because he's done something that Cam Newton couldn't do, and that's lead his team to the Super Bowl a couple of times, you know? And you know, nobody has faith in Jalen Hurts whatsoever to get the job done. And I understand that, but I think at times we've got to respect Jalen Hurts a little bit more than people give him. And I think that the non-respect of Jalen Hurts and Nick Sirianni, quite frankly, going into this game, it all stems from their own fans. Their own fans don't even even respect their head coach and quarterback. So let's go out there and show them what a real head coach and quarterback look like, because that's all they complain about in Philadelphia is their quarterback and their head coach. Mm. And yet they're sitting in the Super Bowl for the second time in 3 years with that quarterback and head coach. So I don't disagree. I think Saquon Barkley is definitely the X factor in this
for
game.
Sure.
You know, he's clearly the X factor in this game. And you know, we'll, like I said earlier, we'll talk about, you know, stopping Barkley for the next 18 days, and then the Chiefs will bottle him up, and at the end of the game, they're like, oh my God, they shut down Saquon Barkley. Like, that should be the expectation, I think, for Chiefs fans right now, is that every time we're presented with a test where everybody talks about how big it's going to be and how hard it's going to be, what do? They get an A on that test, right? Like, every single time, they get an A on that test. And that's why I think all week this week and all week next week, this organization will hear about Saquon Barkley and how they're not going to be able to stop Saquon Barkley. And he's the difference maker in this game. And I just go back to Frank Clark shutting down Derrick Henry in that AFC championship game when everybody said Derrick Henry was going to run wild, or this guy was going to run wild, or that guy was going to run wild. And they figure out a way to get it done. Every time somebody doubts the Chiefs, as Mitch likes to say, you know, every time you doubt the Chiefs, right, which everybody is doing right now, they find a way to raise their level. And it's kind of a reverse osmosis, if you will, right? Like, everybody's talking about how bad this defense is going to be against Saquon Barkley. You're not going to be able to stop Saquon Barkley. Chiefs will go out there and stop Saquon Barkley. I think they're going to have a great day defensively against the run, because I don't know that the Philadelphia offensive line has even seen a defensive line even close to as deep and as good as what we have here.
And I don't debunk the fact that Jalen Hurts is a good quarterback. I think he is good, but I think in this moment, with that defense, the way that Spags can disguise blitzing, I think that gets him kind of outside and makes, you know, Jalen Hurts have to improvise. And when you do that, I think the advantages lean towards Kansas City.
Sure.
The other thing that we've talked about is like the two interior linemen for Philadelphia, big parts of the run game. Because if you want to bring the same energy that people had 3 weeks ago when we were talking about DJ Humphries or Joe Tooney, everyone's like, well, the run game for the Chiefs has been better when Tooney plays guard. Okay, then have the same energy for the Philadelphia Eagles then.
Yeah.
Is their run game going to be the same? Are they going to be able to be as effective? Excuse me. The answer is no. When you're missing your center and your left guard, and the guys that play over the top of those guys are Chris Jones and Charles Omenihu. And as Mitch Holt has said, the 8-man rotation they have at that defensive line is superb and better than anyone else's. And I know Philadelphia's got a great defensive line. The Kansas City Chiefs will be tested, no doubt. There's a reason why these two teams are in the Super Bowl. They're the two best teams. Their combined record is what, 29-5? Chiefs lost twice. Philadelphia went 14-3.
Yeah.
14-15 is 29. I finally did math right on the fly. 29-5. There's a reason why these two.
They are the two best teams in the NFL.
There's a reason why you felt nervous in the AFC Championship game. Those were the two best teams in the AFC Championship game. Will this game be a blowout? I hope it is for the Chiefs.
I would love it to be.
Right? Because then I can just relax.
It's going to be an all-time classic. You know it as well as anybody.
That's where I would put my money.
This thing's going to overtime. We're all going to be nervous. We're all going to sweat it out. Chiefs are going to go down, score a touchdown, win the damn game. Like you know that's going. I'm telling you that right now. Like, that's going to happen. It's going to be another all-time classic in this Super Bowl game because these teams are so evenly matched. But yes, if you could put the ball in the hands of Jalen Hurts and say, you got to go win the
game. Advantage Chiefs.
Advantage Chiefs.
Right. And I think the other thing, too, is, you know, the text line says, yeah, we did this last time. The better team. Philadelphia has a better roster. But the one thing that they do lack is, to me, the most important aspect of this game. Who's a better coach? Who's a better quarterback?
Exactly.
Major advantages. But to be fair, and to be fair to the 816, Philadelphia's defense is better. Philadelphia's offense is better. They have two better wide receivers. They have maybe the best offensive line. But it's not like the Chiefs are like way off on the tangent of competing with Philadelphia. It is just what it is when it comes to rosters.
Mm-hmm.
But again, you can have that narrative. But the one thing that is true is that in this situation, one team has been there more often than the other. One coach is just insanely better than the other. And one quarterback is also insanely better than the other.
What would Jalen Hurts be like with Andy Reid?
Alex Smith.
Okay.
He'd be good.
Yeah.
He'd win. They get to the playoffs. They might win a couple games. But you wouldn't have, if Jalen Hurts played in that AFC championship game, Buffalo wins.
Yeah, I 100%. Yeah, I'm just trying to think like quickly in my mind. Like, you got those four guys, the two coaches and the two quarterbacks. Which would make the biggest difference if you moved one of those pieces around?
Right.
Like, how much better would Philly be with Mahomes?
Mahomes to Philly.
You think
that's got to be the biggest one because we're talking about making Hurts win the game with his arm.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If Mahomes and Saquon Barkley were in the, I mean, that would be just stupid.
Yeah. I think the best case for Nick Sirianni is to stay out of the way. And I don't mean that in a negative way. That's what a good head coach could do. Realize you got a great defensive coordinator. You got a really good offensive coordinator who's going to go be the head coach here in a minute. Let those guys do their job and you just be there for moral support in a game like this and try to not get into a fight with Big Dom or whoever it is on the sidelines in this thing. But no, it's a great matchup from that standpoint. I mean, you do have the two best teams. We have the two best possible teams that we could get in this game. And I think it is. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I think it's going to be an all-time classic. And I want you to save this because I'm going to give a hot take right now, okay? Because I know, again, what the conversation is going to be once we get to New Orleans. Jalen Carter is going to be a beast, and he's going to, you know. Mm-hmm. Jalen Carter will be a footnote in the Super Bowl. We will not hear from Jalen Carter in the Super Bowl.
That is a hot take.
Because what does Andy do? They always neutralize and take care of the most important player that they're going against. Jalen Carter's that guy on defense. They're going to design game plans to not have him be a factor.
I mean, I hope you're right. I mean, he is a man amongst boys, and he's still very, very young.
He's so good.
Very good. That's, if
this is the same as Derrick Henry in 2019, who gives that speech because Frank Clark's not here anymore? I think it's Charles Omenihu.
Who's going to take it from Bob is the question, because that one guy doesn't do it anymore. Take the speech from you? Never mind. Okay. Chris Jones.
No.
I think he goes nuts.
I kind of like your Omenihu one there, man.
I think he said some things recently about, like, I turn it up in the playoffs. I think we get some quotes from Omenihu after the game if they have a good day against Barkley.
I think because this Super Bowl, it feels like, and again, this is just my feel, Charles didn't get to play last year in the Super Bowl.
Nope.
He's healthy. And just some of the stuff you see, just like the pictures that the Chiefs tweeted out yesterday of Charles Omenihu getting ready for the game, I think Charles is going to have a day. I really do. I think Charles is going to have him a day.
Yeah. I do want to bring this up because where I see the biggest advantage, and somebody mentioned it because I said last week the big storyline that no one will talk about is Spagnuolo versus Joe Brady. And the reason why that is such a key factor into this game is now you have Kellen Moore, who's kind of in that same realm. It's like he's done it longer than Joe Brady. I think his name is a little bit more respected than Joe Brady's. But again, young, upcoming offensive coordinator, could be a head coach soon. I think Joe Brady will be a head coach eventually, if not take McDermott's job.
That's interesting.
You never know.
But he was the offensive coordinator that didn't go to James Cook and continued to run to the left side when the Chiefs knew it was coming.
And I'm glad that you say that because this is from Charles Goldman on Twitter, and he tweeted out, Chiefs cornerback Trent McDuffie on his AFC title game blitz, quote, I heard the offensive lineman check the protection the other way, and I knew that we got him. Like, that's miles ahead of the other team. Like when you hear that in the back of your mind, you're like, okay, whatever you do, don't show it. Don't show it. And as soon as they snap the ball, I'm going to have a free shot at Josh Allen. And who was it that had the free shot?
Trent McDuffie.
And how the game end? A drop pass because Allen was under pressure. You do that to Philadelphia and you start hearing those things and you know that you're that far ahead of the other team.
But
man,
look,
advantage.
Look how good this coaching staff is, though. Go back to the block field goal, right? They knew exactly what Denver was going to do. They knew where the weak spot was in their line. Coaching. Then you have that Trent McDuffie one. And then you have Nazi Johnson yesterday. Quote, I mean, from our defensive side, he always QB sneaks to our right. So every time we see him in QB sneak formation, we know he's coming to the right side every single time. It's 100%, 10 for 10, he's going to that side. So when people sit here and say Josh Allen got the first down or whatever the case may be, no, he didn't, because the Chiefs knew exactly where he was going. They knew every time that he was going to sneak to the left offensive side, the right defensive side, and they were ready for that. That's coaching. That's why the Chiefs have an advantage, because they know you better than you know you.
That's right. Let's get into the cover two this week, and we'll do this a little bit differently. And the cover two is brought to you by Low and Slow, the first ever smoked barbecue potato chip and cheese puff, now available in Kansas City. This week, our cover two, we're doing a little bit differently because, I don't know, there's only two teams left, but nobody's playing this week. I know we're going to watch sports, but we're also going to be doing things other than that. We're going to be busy getting ready for the trip. We're going to do the cover two this week is what are the two most tiresome headlines that you're going to see this week and next week?
Yeah, for me, it's going to be about the left tackle, you know, who's going to play left tackle for the Chiefs, which I don't think needs to be a headline. Shouldn't even be a conversation anymore.
If I can give you a little insight, they asked Andy Reid about that.
I know.
And he said, yeah, no, we're going to keep going the way it is.
Yeah.
We're going to watch him, but we're going to keep things with it.
Right.
But, so, yeah, but the people.
But the people will still talk about that. And for me, the other one that I'm going to get tired of this week, did you know Andy Reid coached in Philadelphia? Mm-hmm. And that's going to be a topic. And another one that I think is going to be a topic this week, every time the Chiefs are in the national stage, people talk about changing the name of the franchise, right? We see that. The ESPN wants to change it to the Tom Brady Trophy now. Mm-hmm. But they always talk about changing the name of the franchise. And every time I go to a Chiefs game, and for those who are still like they need to change the name of the franchise, you need to go to a Chiefs game and listen and hear what the public address announcer says when they bang the drum and they talk about Native American traditions and how often the Chiefs as an organization meet with Native American groups in Kansas City and the United States to make sure that they are respecting the Native American culture. And the Native Americans have said, yes, you guys are doing everything the right way. You have our blessing, so to speak, and we're not mad or anything like that. Like, the Kansas City Chiefs have gone above and beyond any other organization in making sure that they aren't doing anything that is, you know, insensitive like that. But yet people will still try to say they've got to change the name, and I'm sure that will be a topic this week. But I feel the need as a Kansas Cityan to give the Chiefs and to let everybody know how involved the Chiefs are to make sure that everything that they're doing is respectful to the culture.
My two, I found an article because I just did the quick lazy work of what are the top headlines going into Super Bowl 59. One of mine that I'm going to be tired of is just like the birthday, like it's Saquon's birthday on the Super Bowl. Like,
oh,
that's
it
cool.
Is?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
And they've already kind of brought that up, like birthday cake, Super Bowl trophy, and a Super Bowl MVP. Could he be the first running back since Terrell Davis? Let's see if he can win the game first. It's cool that his birthday's on there, but like, really, like that's the storyline that we're leading with. Another one that I think we're going to be tired of hearing, and I know it's going to be a popular story because it broke yesterday, is the Justin Tucker sickness story that he is under investigation for. Yep. That will be a scarlet letter on the entire week that's supposed to be a celebratory week for two teams.
Right.
And it's going to be constant news coming out. If you missed all the Justin Tucker stuff, go to X, type in his name.
Basically Deshaun Watson 2.0.
Yeah. I mean, six cases out there saying that he was disgusting towards massage therapists.
I think I have to do this.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but I did look it up, and I hit just now we know why his career was starting to go a little bit rocky. He had more on his mind than just making field goals. But the top storylines, according to Yahoo Sports, the first one they have is the quest for three in a row. Thanks for listening. the greatness of Saquon Barkley.
Yep.
Can I ask what he's accomplished other than 2,000 yards this year?
Well, he escaped the Giants, so I think people are looking at that as like a big deal.
Yeah. The third storyline is Tom Brady in the booth.
Oh, yeah.
Because Fox gets the game.
I am interested, though, to see what he's going to say when Patrick Mahomes wins that third straight Super Bowl. Like, I think, and I know ego gets involved, they probably won't, but if I'm Tom Brady, I'm like,
this sucks.
No, you say, look, he's taken the mantle. He is the greatest of all time. He's done something none of us could ever accomplish.
Another storyline, which is hilarious, because I guess now we're stretching. Can Vic Fangio get a ring?
Who's thinking about that? Besides
Yahoo.
Vic, you know?
Fangio spent 24 seasons as either a defensive coordinator or a head coach, and he's widely considered one of the greatest defensive minds in the sport. He's also 0-8 versus Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, like Patrick Mahomes has beaten him in every opportunity that he's had.
Another one is the return to New Orleans. I would not be mad about that. I kind of like the historic atmosphere, like what it means, the last time it was here, like what the town does.
It's great. It's the best Super Bowl city.
Did you peek the weather yet?
No, I have not. No.
Is that something you don't want to know or you want to know?
I don't care. I
mid-70s all week.
Okay, good. That's good. Yeah, perfect. That's great.
I don't want you packing wool pants.
No, I'm not going to.
They just got 8 inches of snow.
Yeah, no. But, I mean, the humidity is the one that gets you. Like,
yeah, oh,
my
yeah.
God.
Like, oh, yeah.
That is sick down there with the humidity. Like,
coming off the Gulf of America.
Yeah, to the point where you're just like,
it's cold.
Oh, my God. Humid.
Here's one that's going to get. Complaints about officiating. That's the one that you've obviously already alluded to. Jalen Hurts' odd journey. Haven't we already done that story?
What's the odd journey? He's back in the Super
Bowl.
From
Bama to Oklahoma to Philly to starting.
How's that an odd journey?
I don't know. A.J. Brown in constant controversy.
Man.
Wait until Trent McDuffie gets into that guy's head. Wait till that happens. Because we saw how much he got in. Like, I get it. It's what's the guy's name that's always in Mike Evans' head? And he was in A.J. Brown's last week. And they,
Lattimore.
Yeah, Marshawn Lattimore. They got into it. McDuffie doesn't do it with his mouth. He does it with his game. Like, you saw how much he gets into Jamar Chase's head. He's not out there, like, talking smack. And they just can't get this guy off me. He's like a gnat. So that's one of them. The NFL's new villains. Yeah. Thought we did that last year.
But if Philly wins, are they the new villain now of the NFL? Or are they the heroes because they beat the villain?
And this is one that's going to make you absolutely sick.
Yeah.
Howie Roseman's blueprint.
Yeah, Howie Roseman's blueprint is not as good as Brett Veach's blueprint.
I mean,
no mention of Brett on that list,
yeah,
right?
We're not living in Rosemantown.
You know what? I'm wearing the Brett Veachtown shirt probably on Monday at the Super Bowl because that's what it is. It's Brett Veachtown. Like, the Howie Roseman love is disgusting.
Disgusting.
Like you're giving, and Brett will never get the credit because Andy's that big figure, obviously. But, I mean, the lack of credit that the GM of this franchise continues to get is like, it's like my friend, the assistant GM of the White Sox, he gets no credit. They lost 121 last year. My bad. But like Brett Veach gets no credit for what he's done. Yet everybody wants to genuflect at the altar of Howie Roseman. Like he's won one Super Bowl.
It was only 3 years ago. They had him as the number one GM in football. Like they had him over
Veach or Roseman?
Roseman.
I mean, Brett Veach is going to be the GM of a team that could potentially win three straight Super Bowls and do nothing that's ever been done before, and yet people are going, well, that Howie Roseman put together a new roster that finishes second.
Yeah. And I don't think, what did you say a couple weeks ago, no GM's ever won four Super Bowls?
I don't know. I mean, probably not.
We kind of have like a back and forth conversation, but I'm pretty sure no GM has ever won four Super Bowls. Maybe I'm wrong.
Well, I mean,
Pittsburgh.
My mind goes immediately to the 70s Steelers.
But did they have GMs back then?
Right. But I think they won 4 and 5 years, though. I think they won, two back-to-backs.
They won two, missed, won two.
Yeah.
So maybe they have one.
But I don't think back in those days you had a general manager. Like, the head coach was calling people, hey, you want to play for the Steelers? Yeah, at least you could have said you were from the Yankees, you know? So I don't think GMs really existed back then.
But something that does exist next week is something that we can do for you from our friends at Hy-Vee, which is you can, Mr. Fesco.
You can win $500 next week to Hy-Vee. Every day next week at 7:45, we're going to be playing a Chiefs highlight. If you guess what year that took place, you will qualify to win $500 at the end of the week. We'll do one qualifier each day, and then all five qualifiers will be put in a hat. Somebody will draw that, and you will win a $500 gift card to Hy-Vee, my favorite place to shop. Just texting the kids today what he needed Hy-Vee. I'll run over there after work, get you what you need, get ready for the big game, get ready for the weekend. Hy-Vee's got everything that you need for the Chiefs.
We talked about it earlier, Saturday, 9 to noon. Vern's going to be on the airwaves for you here on 96.5. The Fan as the Royals kick things off. And we will kick things off with our guy and friend of the show, Matt Cotrero. He'll join us next on the other side here on Fesco and Dusty with Nathan. 96.5 The Fan, your home for Matt Cotrero.
Cotrero!
The sweet sounds of the old number fives. Brock and Watson, our boys, and our guy, Royals manager Matt Cotrero, joining us now here on Fesco and Dusty. How you doing, Matt? How's life? How's the winter treated you? And are you getting ready for baseball? Believe it or not, you got to get back to work soon, man.
Yeah, no, it's time. I mean, everybody coming into town this weekend, it'll feel like the season's here. It seems like we all got out of that stretch of brutal cold, but spring's on us, right?
Yeah, we hope. I mean, finally all that snow is melted and whatnot, and, you know, we can kind of get on with our lives and get out of the house, which will be nice for everybody. You don't have to stop looking at each other anymore. But from your standpoint, I mean, we're sitting here with pretty good roster. I saw somebody yesterday saying you better win the American League Central. All the expectations are on you this year. You feel good about this roster, like going into spring training, ready to go with everybody you got?
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, you know, the addition the other day of Carlos Estevez, that's going to be really nice. Another another proven arm in the bullpen, shorten some games. You know, we've talked a lot about the strength of our starting rotation and what they did last year. That's the foundation for any good team. So you try to put the best 13 pitchers out there and limit as many runs for the opposition. And, you know, and then we're going to be opportunistic like we were last year on the bases and forcing the issue. So we like our team a lot.
Yeah. Is there anybody you look at like this offseason go, darn, that's the one that got away. If we could have added him or anything like that.
I mean, come down to it, probably Juan Soto, right?
We were
probably just edged out by a couple bucks for him. But
well, at least
other than that, no.
Yeah, other than that, no, we're sitting good, right? You know, it's crazy, though, the way that the baseball offseason has gone. Everybody's like, the Dodgers are just spending money in 2075 on the players they have today. And, you know, Pete Alonso still unsigned, the Soto deal. Like, just what do you feel about where baseball is right now, Matt?
Well, you know, it's to me, I look at the game as one part and the finances as another. The game I absolutely love.
Me too.
It's what I've done for my whole life, and I'm very fortunate to be able to continue to do it. And, you know, it's great to be around the players, the coaches. Like, that part of it's tremendous. The business side, I have very little business sense, so I try not to think too much about it because there's nothing that I can do about it. It's nothing controllable for me. You know, and that it is whatever you want to say about it, that is the system we work in. So if you have those kinds of revenues like the Dodgers do, there's no reason they shouldn't do that, or the Mets or whoever it is, you know. But that does not guarantee anything on the baseball field. And I think that's what makes this such a special game. I mean, you see how much money can be spent, and you can be extremely competitive without spending that kind of money. And that's what the great equalizer is. You still got to go out there between the lines.
All right, the people want to know, what's your 7, 8, 9 bullpen rotation right now? Give us the information we need to know. That way we can – I'm kidding. How much of an advantage – how much
and
of
who's pitching opening day?
Yeah, seriously. No,
well, that's your job, Bob.
Yeah, as I say, Bob's got the answers, apparently.
I got Cole Reagans penciled in on opening day.
Yeah.
You had the whole five mapped out last year in, like, December.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I got – but it's pretty much the same as last year. Like, that's the beauty of it now. You're a juggernaut. There's not a lot of change, right?
That's exactly right. Yep, yeah, you nailed it.
And see, in the wintertime, Bob goes to a fleece blanket, whereas in the summertime, he's in the cheese blanket era. But it is interesting that you padded the back of that bullpen, because, I mean, there's no secret. Earlier on in the season last year, you had bullpen issues, and, you know, you still had great starting pitching. And a lot of the questions that, you know, blowhards will have is, can this starting rotation do exactly what they did last year? Well, those expectations are out the window. We know how annoyed you'd get last year when someone would say, last year the team had, you know, 17 wins, but not until August. Like, well, that was last year. Just like last year that we had with the success was last year. But the added bullpen arms and the pitching that you've added to this roster really makes life, you know, kind of nicer for these guys that are your starters in the rotation.
Well, there's no doubt. I mean, you know, they carried such a heavy load last year with innings pitched, and, you know, they're all looking to do the same again. Like, they want to exceed what they did last year, and that's what makes this group special, is that they're not, you know, satisfied with what they accomplished last year. They're in this game, and some of these guys have been in this game for a long, long time because they continue to push themselves and they continue to evolve. They're not complacent with whatever they've done in the past. Now, that being said, when you have the ability to maybe shave an inning or two off here and there because your bullpen is deep, again, you're putting the best 13 pitchers out there, not the best one guy for every game. So these guys understand that. They're all selfless, and the taste of winning that we got last year is keeping these guys hungry to work even harder in the offseason, to push the envelope more in what they're trying to do physically, mentally. So, and the one thing I can really honestly say is the guys that we have that were here last year, and the guys we've added, they don't care what inning they pitch. They really don't. They want to win the game. And so they've been remarkably selfless in that regard, and that's what's really exciting about it.
So you don't have anybody like Cam Newton walking around who's happy to be MVP but doesn't care that he didn't win a championship. That's good, right?
I've never heard that.
Oh, yeah. Cam Newton yesterday said that he would not trade his MVP for a Super Bowl trophy. So as a manager of a team, I mean, how do you get everybody focused in on winning what matters most and not that individual stuff?
Well, we spend a lot of time, you know, talking about it. That was one of the nice, I guess, takeaways from the really tough 23 season, is these guys really figured out how to come together as a team when things weren't going well. And that's, I think that's part of the reason that we finished better down the stretch that year than at the beginning of the year. And then the evolution of the talent. And then when we added those proven winners to the clubhouse last year, those guys really made the difference and taught the younger guys how to do that. And it never hurts that you have talented guys like Bobby and Salvi to lead the charge on the position player side, mm-hmm. too.
I heard some good things about MJ recently. A little birdie told me he's really hitting the ball well. I mean, what are your expectations for him, and where does he need to be for this offense to kind of get to that next step?
You know, he's a big part of it. He gets, very regular at bats. MJ is a super talented guy, and we have been in touch all off season. We saw him a couple weeks ago. He's been down there hitting in Miami with Zumi. Our hitting coach was down there a couple days this week, and he's been trying really hard to make some adjustments that he came to the realization that he needed to make to compete every night. And those things are great in theory in the off season. And, some of those changes were necessary, then they have to be applied. And that's why we have spring training, so that he can really start. And a lot of the guys can start to feel some of those changes, whether they be physical or mental, when you get in the box and compete. But MJ, we all know the talent he has and what he could mean to this lineup if he starts to progress. And, it's not unheard of that a guy with 2+ years in the big leagues is still getting better, and that's what we're looking for, because, you can see the price of the free agents on the market and what they ask for and the longevity of their contracts. But when you have somebody like MJ that can do those things, and be a really great complement with Bobby and Salvi and all the other guys, it could be a huge difference maker for us, and he realizes that.
So, Matt, I'm going to ask you, what are you going to do for the Super Bowl?
I'm actually going to be in Arizona, so I'm going out that morning, so I got to find a good spot to hang out and watch it.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say hit fungos or something like that,
I think I'd be out there hitting them to myself. I don't think anybody else would be out there at that time.
No, nobody's showing up quite yet. Well, we're looking forward to it. I know you guys have Fan Fest this weekend, and you're going to be out at the ballpark, right? A lot of the guys are going to be here today and tomorrow and having some fun with the fans.
Oh, it's going to be awesome. Truthfully, when you get to this point in the year, it's this kind of thing that really gets you going. I went and saw a couple of players a couple of weeks ago, and I told them, when I saw Salvi come walking into the place we were meeting, it was, wow, it's go time. It just flips your switch there. And then to see the fans and the energy that I know is going to be around the stadium this weekend, it's going to be awesome.
Yeah, enjoy that. Everybody gets to get out, see the players. Everything kind of really starts going forward with this ball club. Safe travels. Enjoy Saturday, and we'll listen to you on the show with Vern as well. And thanks for the time today, Matt.
All right, guys. Have a great weekend.
You too. Well. Take care.
Royals manager Matt Cotrero there. Don't forget, big game coverage on 96.5 The Fan is brought to you by Community America Credit Union. Member-owned, open to all, invested in you. Join today at communityamerica.com. Don't forget, Vern's show Saturday, 9 to noon. Bobby Wood Jr., J.J. Piccolo, Matt Cotrero, all those names you can hear on that show getting you geared up for Royals baseball. Coming up on the other side, it's 9 o'clock on a Friday, which means Richard of the Week. Bob's got one. I've got one. Maybe Nathan has one. I don't know. The boss was just in there with him. Who knows?
Could be him.
That's right. You're listening to 96.5 The Fan. You're home for Kansas City Royals baseball.
Well, here we sit. We're headed into the weekend, and the big game is officially here. And you're probably thinking to yourself, all right, I got to plan my spread for the game, right? Well, the easy answer for the big game is Smokehouse Barbecue. Let them cater your watch party, whether you're having two people over, 20 people, 200, it doesn't matter. Smokehouse Barbecue is ready for you. And this year, they have their big game party pack. It includes 2 pounds of brisket, a pound of wings, a quart of mac and cheese, a quart of beans and buns for $89.95. And that serves 6 to 8 folks. And now your game day spread is covered for the big game. And you can place those big game orders, of course, at smokehousebbq.com. And then once the big game's over, you know what that means. Immediately, it's Valentine's Day. And Smokehouse Barbecue has got their Hogs and Kisses Valentine's Day special. Dinner for two for $59.95. It gets you an appetizer, baby back ribs, pork spare ribs, bone-in chicken, burnt ends, pulled pork, two large sides, and a dessert to share. That's what's happening for Valentine's Day. And then, of course, their big game party pack as well. So place those orders, make those reservations at smokehousebbq.com or stop into one of their three locations in Independence, Gladstone, and Zona Rosa. For over 35 years, locally owned and family operated, it's Smokehouse Barbecue.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. This week, it's all about buy five and get five free when you buy 10 mix and match participating items. Here are just a few. Coca-Cola, 7-Up, Pepsi, or Smartwater beverages of various sizes. 16-count fresh baked cookies and pint-sized Ben & Jerry's ice cream, as well as 6 mega or 12 double rolls of Signature Select soft and strong bath tissue and 6 rolls of Brightly paper towels selected varieties. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.